Testing, 1-2 check. 1-2 check. Hey, well, thank you for joining us today. Glad that you're here. Kind of a special time, but we've got people that have already been at work and that are working right now. Today is Sunday Serve Day at Valley Creek. We've never quite done this like this before, but you know, when you read the Bible, Jesus said it's a good thing that even on the Sabbath day that you help people get their ox out of the ditch, right? So when people have need, we want to step up and meet that need, especially as worshipers of the Lord. Now, if you're joining us online here today, I want to let you know there may be some things happening that would cause our feed to cut off. If that happens, don't sweat that. We'll repost that on our YouTube channel, okay? So be looking for that. If it cuts off, no big deal. We'll attend to that, and we'll make sure the link gets sent out, and you'll be able to view the entirety of this service, okay? But thank you for joining us. If you're here in the building right now, would you take a few moments? Let's just stand up together, okay? I want you to look at each other and high-five each other in the air. Unless you want to go by and say hello to one another and put a hug on someone, you know, or a handshake on someone, okay? It's always good to be in the house. I want you to know that, hey, listen, even as early as, it was sometime either yesterday or the day before, I got a text from someone. We have just a foster family that we've encouraged or wanted to help through the Alabama Baptist Children's Home. Actually, they've adopted some of those children, 6 children, and so we wanted to do some laundry for them, and they had a lot of laundry. And I had someone contact me after I asked them if they might participate and said, Pastor Bob, thank you for asking me to be a part of this. I did 6 loads of laundry, and I was thrilled to do every one of them. To know that there was helping a family of 6 children that finally could take a break from one of those menial tasks that can just, you know, just cause you just to be overwhelmed. Now, I couldn't believe that. I just sent them a quick text back and said, thank you that you'd be willing to do that. There were others that did the very same thing. I could name their names, but then that would defeat the purpose of Serve Day. All right, we're serving not to be recognized or get a name for ourselves. We're serving because we just love the Lord, want to serve Him and serve others, and that's what the gospel is about. I could tell you some other things that have been going on prior to today. We're not going to let today discourage us. We've got a lot of lawn care crews out there. I know it's raining. We'll figure it out. Don't sweat that. And when we gather together for lunch, we're just going to flex. We're just going to adjust. We're going to figure it all out, but we're still going to get on task, and we're going to be ministering to people throughout the course of this day, and I'm looking forward to seeing what all that is going to occur. Our special guests today are going to be introduced to you in a few moments, and I want you to just get blessed by them. You know, we're asking the Lord not to just to do things differently. We're just asking the Lord to lead us where He wants us to go. And as a part of that, we're honored today to have these folks that Noah will introduce to you in just a moment. And so hang on and hang tight, because I really think that you're going to get really, really blessed, okay? Now, has everyone said hello to each other? Are we good? All right, I want to say hello to Barbara. Barbara's a friend of mine. She's the caretaker over at Mr. Huey's property that we were going to be taking care of here today. She's become a sister in the Lord to me and to our church. She's pretty special to our family because of all that she's done for Mr. Huey, who's now with Jesus. So be sure that you say hello to her. And also remember this, every one of you are invited to lunch afterwards, okay? We want to feed you before we send you. All right, so we've already got that covered, and there's going to be lots of people that you can minister to today in spite of the flex schedule that we're probably going to have to enter into, okay? Even got a person here today that as soon as this service is done, they're going to head out on a job site, you know, not related, but with their own personal life. So they were already busy serving earlier this morning. Amazing how God's at work blessing folks. So Noah, why don't you come up right now and kind of give us an idea as to what to expect, and then lead us in prayer, and then we're going to sit back and be blessed. Man, I love you. I appreciate what you do in this church, and I'm thankful for these good friends that you brought here today. All right?
You could be seated for now. We're going to get ready to introduce Alabama Teen Challenge up here, and they've got a couple of different ways they minister. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with Alabama Teen Challenge or know much about it, but hopefully by the time you leave here today, you'll know a lot more about it and how you can continually serve them throughout the year, because they come and do these rallies just about every weekend, I would imagine, especially now that churches are opening back up full capacity. And I know that the pandemic really hit them hard, because they are private donors, and churches that give to them, that's the only way they can do what they do. And so from the things like toilet tissue, from clothing to food, all that is donations, all that is given by churches and individuals. And so when things kind of came to a halt in 2020, I know that it had an impact on their ministry, but God found a way, and as he always does, to keep them going and keep ministering to the ladies that are in that program. And so we want to learn how we can help them not only today, but how we can continue to serve them throughout the year. And it's not just something that the church can do as a whole, but it's something that some of you may see as we get through this today, that there's something that you can do individually, or just maybe you and your family. I can remember in the early years, Alabama Teen Challenge used to be in Maytown, at a little bitty church there in Maytown. And one of the first ways that we were able to serve and help them is we would load up once a month a truck full of toilet tissue and shampoo and conditioner and soaps and all that, and just drop it off. And then that kind of snowballed into other things to help. And I know there's many churches and people that come and help do remodeling things and painting and all kind of stuff. And so it's just an amazing ministry. One of the things, and I don't remember where I read this, but a few years ago, I read a statistic about Alabama Teen Challenge, and I don't want to get into too much of it because I know Ms. Carmen's got a lot more information to give you, but the success rate that comes out of Alabama Teen Challenge is absolutely supernatural. They were doing some surveys of talking to men and women 15 years after they had graduated Teen Challenge, and about almost 90% of them were still on the right path and still sober and clean. And that's just a powerful statistic once you start to understand the stronghold that addiction has in many people's lives, to still be living in that freedom and that victory nearly 20 years is such a powerful statistic. So without further ado, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite Ms. Carmen to come up, and she's going to give you some more information, and then these ladies are going to minister to you. I always love getting here early when they're going to be here, because I'm up in the booth trying to get sound right, but tears are coming down my face as I'm just listening to the words of these songs and seeing what God's doing in the lives of these ladies. It's such a powerful thing, and so hopefully by the end of this today, you'll have more knowledge and understanding of not only how you can help serve, but one of the things that's happened to me over the last 15 years of being a part of this ministry is people have just randomly called me or texted me and said, hey, do you know a place that can take on this person? They need help. And used to, I wouldn't have had an answer. I would have said, you're going to have to call somebody else. But now my number one and only answer is Alabama Teen Challenge. And I'll shoot them the number, and I'll say, get them in there. If they've got a bed available, this is the best place that you can have them. And so hopefully, even in your life, as you leave here today, if somebody ever texts you or calls you or emails you about someone needing help, this can be the place that you recommend, because it is amazing what God's doing through this. So let's pray, and then I'm going to invite Ms. Carmen to come on up and talk to us a little bit. Father, God, we thank you for this day that we can serve you, Lord. God, we thank you, Father, for a day where we can come together as the church and as people of God and people of the church, Lord, and get outside of our walls, Lord. So many times we stay right here inside and we worship and we minister, and all those things are great and needed, Lord. But today, God, to get out into the community around us, Lord, God, to see people that maybe we haven't seen in a while, and to put our hand to the plow together with one another today, Lord, as we go out and serve and minister to the ones around us. I pray, God, that you would give us favorable weather, Lord, as we launch out here at 12 o'clock, that you'd clear up this rain and these skies for us, Father, that we may go and do the work of the Lord, Father. God, we pray today that you would minister to each and every one of us, Lord, through Alabama Teen Challenge, Lord, and their testimonies, Lord. Even your word says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And God, as we hear testimonies today about how the blood of the Lamb has set people free, I pray, God, that today you would let us all walk in victory, Lord. Let us all walk in freedom today, Father. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would y'all give a small round of applause to Ms. Carmen as she comes up? So if that embarrasses you, I'm sorry.
Hey, Carmen, hold on for just a second, okay? I forgot to do something. It's kind of normal now. My stage of life. But church, if you wouldn't mind, if you have children here from kindergarten through grade five, and you'd like to go to kids to Children's Ministry Center with Jennifer and our team over there to be ministered to in a way that's particular and special to them, now would be the time that you would be dismissed, okay? So Jennifer, if you take you and our kids from preschool all the way up to grade five, you head on, and we've got something special for you there, okay? Carmen, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. My name is Carmen. I am an intern at Alabama Adult and Teen Challenge now, because over the years it's changed into for adults as well. We are from the Women's Center, and we are in Hayden, Alabama. There's one Women's Center in Alabama, and there are three men's centers. There is one men's center in Bay Minette, one in Selma, and one in Lincoln, and that's where our administrative office is. Teen Challenge started out in 1958 by a man named David Wilkerson. He lived in Pennsylvania. He was a little small-town preacher. He saw on the news that there was these teenagers in New York City that were on trial for murder, and God said, David, you can help these people. You can go help these people. And he's like, you know, me? I'm a little small town preacher in Pennsylvania. I can't help these people in New York City. Well, God just kept laying it on his heart. And he finally listened. He took that TV that he saw those boys on, and he sold it and went to New York City. They laughed him out of the courtroom the first time. He's like, I can take these boys and I can help them with the word of God. And so they laughed him out the first time. The second time he came, they were still kind of iffy about it. But then he came back again, and they let him take these teenage boys that were on trial. They murdered another teenage boy, so they were on trial for that. But he, with the word of God, helped them overcome that. And now it has grown. I said that was in 1958. Now it has grown. It is all over the world, in different countries all over the world, all over the United States, and it's also for adults now. Anybody that is struggling with anything, like alcoholism, addiction, depression, anger, anxiety, anything like that, they come to our center, and they live with us for a year, and it's amazing. As soon as I walked in the door at Teen Challenge in Hayden, I was at peace. I knew that I was supposed to be there. I never really had a purpose in life, and now I do. Like, I get to after I graduated in September of 2020, I decided to stay and work there, and I get to see God work through these ladies' lives every day like he did in mine. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for 20 years and felt like there was no hope for me. But by the power of God and through the people that come and minister at Teen Challenge and the life coaches that are there to help every one of us, I have overcome that alcoholism and addiction. The ladies go through 14 books called GSNC. It's Group Studies for New Christians. There's one called Love and Accepting Yourself, one called How to Be a Christian, which just basically gives you the basic steps on how to be a Christian. At the books of the Bible, we do script meds. Our script meds are called Scripture Meditations, and it is medication. It's God's medication. So we learn two verses a week, and what we do is we learn these verses, we recite them to somebody, and then we do work on them. Like, we write the verse down, then we write what the verse means to us, then we write cross references in the Bible, like, just has to do with, everybody knows what a cross reference is, right? And so we just study it, we meditate on it, and then they move into another class. It's personal studies for new Christians, and so then they just get some more one-on-one time learning how to be a Christian. And then after that, after they get, you know, kind of a little bit strong, we go out and we do stuff like this. We do rallies, we do car washes, we volunteer at marathons, at the Mercedes Marathon sometimes, and we just do stuff like that and serve the Lord. The ladies do go to work every day at a call center in Hoover. I worked there for a year, and I don't remember where it was. It's in Hoover, and they call and they just do phone surveys. So that's how they We pay the water and the lights. And so they learn how to go and work an everyday job. We have a set schedule every day. We get up at the same time every day. We have breakfast at the same time every day. So you just learn to have discipline and self-control. And so I don't know for these ladies, but for me, when I got there, I was 40 years old. And at 40 years old, when you have to ask to use the restroom, sometimes it's a little humbling. It's very humbling. So, but it just teaches you. I needed that. I needed those strict rules. And I feel like I speak for every one of us saying that we needed that. So now I just get to do this. It's really hard to call it a job because I feel like this is the purpose in my life. I've never thought that I would have a purpose. But God has shown me that I do. And it is so very amazing. So, and so I'm going to give you a verse. It's Revelation 10:11. And they overcame him, which is the accuser, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, of their testimonies. So we're going to come and we're going to tell y'all a little bit about ourselves. It's not going to be pretty at first, but then you'll see the glory of the Lord shine upon every single one of us. So now we're going to do this thing called reality versus truth. Reality is, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for 20 years, and I didn't deserve to live. Truth is, God has a better life for me. In John 10:10, he says, a thief comes not but to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they may have life, and they may have life more abundantly.
Reality is waking up on a ventilator in Children's Hospital at 15 years old due to a drug overdose, and again at 17. Reality is having an abortion at 16 years old. Reality is becoming a convicted felon at 18, and by 19, a slave to IV drug use.
Reality is I was not only addicted to drugs, but was bound to sexual immorality, lust, homosexuality, and physical touch. This was the only type of love that became real to me. Reality is I broke a true covenant with a good man who loved me and the Lord for a low-life gangbanger charged with murder. He wrecked me to pass the point of destruction, and on top of that, we were distantly related. Reality is I not only sold my body for a glass bowl, needle, and a roof over my head, but I committed the ultimate low by stealing from my family, abandoning them, and having them think I was dead.
Reality is I chose alcohol and drugs over being a mom, daughter, and a sister. Reality is I found my worth in a man's opinion. His voice was the only one that mattered. Reality is the only worth I found for myself is the value that a man sees. My highest desire was to be loved and accepted, but mostly I was just battered.
Reality, in the world, I was schizoaffective in and out of psych wards, always being told I needed to be on antipsychotics. Reality is turning into a needle junkie after losing my mother from a heroin overdose, and turning to vodka after my divorce, causing my son's great pain. Reality is I was dead to the world, a slave to sin and addiction, buried under shame, guilt, and scars.
Reality is within one year, I lost my good paying job, my home, my Honda, and my dog to a drug addiction because no price was too high to chase that high. Reality is, during the pandemic, especially when I was low on money, I would sell my explicit pictures for money. I didn't respect myself or think that I was even worthy of love. Reality is, I chose a glass bowl along with a big lighter over anyone or anything because I was hurting so bad, I was willing to feel anything but my own pain.
Reality is, I'm just some nobody, a worthless, forgotten person. Drugs and alcohol made me feel included and a part of something. Reality is, I chose drugs over my family, a place to live, paying my bills, and taking care of myself. Reality is, my ongoing health issues opened the door to my addiction again, and I spiraled out of control. But the truth is, I'm somebody in Christ. I'm chosen by the King of Kings. Truth is, God is restoring everything the enemy stole from me. What the enemy meant for evil, he is changing for good. The truth is, his grace is sufficient. For when I am weak, he is strong.
Truth is, the only high I chase now is the joy of the Lord, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only high I'll ever need. Truth is, I'm a mighty warrior princess. In his eyes, I am beautiful and so worthy. He paid the ultimate price for me, and I am his, and he knows me by name. Truth is, the only thing I feel now is the pure love of Jesus Christ, and that's all I need. If he is for me, who can be against me?
Truth is, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the only medication I need. The truth is, I am an ambassador of hope, a light to my boys, and I'm shameless. Truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I am alive in Christ, and the only thing that's man-made in heaven is the scars.
Truth is, the only choice that matters is to choose to follow Jesus Christ and allow him into my heart. Truth is, my worth is so high that Jesus paid the ultimate price for me. I am worthy and I am his. Truth is, only value I seek now is the value that God gave me to be Christ-like is the value I uphold now.
Truth is, the only high I chase after is my Heavenly Father. He loves me so much, and he paid the ultimate price for me, to live a life of forgiveness and eternally with him. Truth is, the Lord will never abandon me. He has promised me he will never leave me or forsake me, and he has promised me a hope and a future. Truth is, God has made me in his image. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Truth is, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Truth is, Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so he has removed all of our transgressions from us. Truth is, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Okay, now Elizabeth is going to give her testimony, and we're going to do a video for you.
Okay, so I'm Elizabeth, I'm 23, and I am from Hanceville, Alabama, which is in Cullman. I've been in and out of treatment programs since I was 15 years old. My reality was a little bit of my testimony, so I'm not going to get too far into that. But the Lord has totally wrecked my life. I am so new. I have a joy in my heart. Sometimes I feel like there's an airbag underneath my seat. I'm just going to hit the ceiling like I'm so happy. And that's crazy. Coming from what I came from at such a young age, I had flushed my life down the toilet before I even really got started, before I even got a foot in the door into adulthood. But the Lord is restoring that to me. Right now, I'm still reaping some bad harvest. I lost a tooth the other day, but it's okay because the Lord is going to give me a new tooth, you know. So I'm still reaping these things, but I know that I'm planting good seeds now. I know that eventually that harvest is going to come, and it's going to be beautiful because the Lord's in it. And I just love the Lord so much, and thank you guys for letting me share. And we're going to do a video called Potter and Friend now.
Lord, I ask that you just make us your perfect and willing vessels right now. Jeremiah 18:1-6, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it in another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel.
The only worth I'll ever find in myself is in what a man or woman says about me or what I can do to please somebody else.
I'll never be more than a junkie.
The only value I saw in myself was what others said about me.
My name's Kaylin. I'm originally from Port St. Joe, Florida, which is a real small town near Panama City. I've lived in Dothan on and off the last 10 years. This is the most northern I've been in Alabama. I'm 30, never been in treatment before. Back it up a little bit. I was born in Dothan, but I was raised in Florida. I'm the oldest. My dad was pretty young when he had me, and he taught me a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. He taught me, basically, I mean, he raised me like a boy. I really don't think he knew any better. I was always taught to feel your way through something, never to feel your way. Always be a leader. I never learned how to lose. I always learned how to win. I was pretty good in school. I usually made all A's. I was very active in school. I played three sports. I was always in clubs. I played college ball for a few years. About my senior year, it got a little dark. There were some tragic moments in my childhood that I never really recovered from. My dad, we lived in a small town, and everybody knew everybody. And my dad's from there, and he was a politician and a business owner, and he was very powerful. And so the people in the town really didn't know what was going behind the scenes kind of thing. And, you know, you go to church, you go to school, you go to this ball field, and you smile about it. You know, they don't really know exactly what happens at home. I mean, he wrecked me. I mean, he was verbally, mentally, and physically abusive to me. And I mean, he taught me how to fight. It was just kind of hard for me, really. I was an angry kid. My senior year, my dad had an affair, a very publicized affair in a small town, and my parents got through an ugly divorce, and I was a senior. I was on homecoming court, didn't even go to prom. I wore sweatpants and wind pants every day. It didn't matter, I had three games that week anyway. But anyways, all of a sudden my life was dark, and my parents had all the money in the world, and then Katrina hit, and all of a sudden we didn't have all the money in the world, and I was planning on going far, far away. And then they're like, well, we can't send you to college. You know, you got to figure it out. So I was like, well, I'm pretty good at ball. You know, I'll just call some colleges. So I go. I don't even have to try out. I don't know. Anyways, I make the team, couple teams, and I play college ball for a few years. Well, I don't know how to forgive. I never really was taught how to forgive. You know, that really wasn't a thing. You know, if you cross me, it's just like, unfortunately, you're no longer my friend, you know, you lost, you know, or unfortunately, you know, it's just, we're not going to talk about it, you know, I'm just not going to be entertain you kind of thing. So I was very angry and very hurt. I played ball, but I was smoking marijuana every day, smoking cigarettes, and I was a starter. Didn't matter. I just needed something to numb it. I wanted to feel anything else other than the pain. It didn't matter if it was 5 minutes, 55 minutes, just sign me up. So I did that for a while. I came back home after a few years in college, and my mom still needed help. I have a special needs brother that I'm very close to. So I decided to come to Dothan. I could have gone to Florida, lived in a house free on the beach with all my friends and my cronies. But I decided to go somewhere I didn't know, and I thought I would be making the right choice, you know. But I'm 21 at this time, and I start working at restaurants because I don't really have much of a degree yet or experience. And so I start drinking heavily. I go to a bar for the first time, and I get a DUI. And they don't care who your daddy is there, you know. So I had a DUI. And that was pretty hard. Fast forward a couple years later, I've done medical the last 15, 12 years. I just love helping people overall. I'm always think about really other people more so than myself. I don't even entertain my issues or things like that. I don't really date much. I don't know, I've dated like three people maybe. This last year I met a guy and I knew him on and off 10 years. He was a little bit older than me. And usually I'm just kind of intellectual a little bit and analytical. And I think about things and usually I can figure a guy out, you know, like in a couple minutes. But this one, he kind of fooled me a little bit. But with that being said, he introduced me to I was smoking marijuana every day, smoking cigarettes every day, not really drinking, that takes too much time, but he introduced me to something harder, and I hated myself so bad that, and I had been knocked down for so long that I was willing to do anything. So I started doing that, and I lost everything. I lost my job, I lost my car, I lost my house. Didn't really care about my family. I called my brother every day, but other than that, I didn't really have nothing to do with them, you know. and just something I had to give, you know. And I was just tired of it. And I ended up getting in trouble with the law. And my bondsman, I missed my payment 1 week. He put me in jail. And the bondsman told all the bondsmen in town not to bail me out. And I had never been past docket before. And so that was a hard reality. I was in there 30 days. There were some heavy hitters in there. And my mom eventually got me out, but she didn't want to get me out because she knew I was safe. She knew I was, I had food, and she knew I wasn't doing drugs, and I was taking my medicine. So I was in there, and I was like, you don't get mentally well in jail. You know, they could care less. But anyways, I get out. My bondsman asked me, what am I going to do? And I was like, I'm not sure. I'll probably just go to some 30-day program here in town. And he was like, no, that's squash. You need to go here. And he talks about Alabama Teen Challenge. I was like, I'm not really sure about that. A year's kind of a long time, you know. I mean, I'll do 6 months, 90 days, you know. But I don't know about no year. And then he was like, and you can't take any medicine. I was like, you know, I really need to take, you know, my antidepressant, my anxiety, my my sleeping medication, my antipsychotic. You know, I got to have those things or I just not there. And he was like, you learn it through God and God will help you. And I was like, okay. So we look at it, and I'm telling my friend, I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave in about a month, and I'll see, and, you know, I'll be gone for a year. And mom was like, no, we're leaving this week. You know, I had tapped her out. So I go to Alabama Teen Challenge. I never was raised in the church. I knew about the church. I discovered Jesus when I was 12 years old due to my best friend, Marissa Weatherly. And I even asked my dad to go that time in middle school, but he didn't go. Anyways, I go up there, and there's all these women, and I'm just like, wow, I don't know about all these girls, you know, like, not really interested. And so they're all happy and jumping and banging their legs and saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I was like, what is going on here? You know, I was raised in a Baptist church, kind of, sort of, I would visit, and I was like, we don't really say Jesus, you know. We say, you know, I love him, and you don't say Jesus, you know, it's kind of in vain or whatever, but they were saying it in a good way. But I was like, what are these people doing? And I was like, and then I heard, you know, they're speaking in tongues, and I was like, that just completely unnerved me. And I was like, I'm just not sure about this. And I was like, this is like some hocus pocus mungo. Like, I'm not really sure what I signed up for, you know. And I was like, and they're telling me it's in the Bible. And I was like, yes, yes, ma'am. So anyways, I start just reading the word, and I asked the Lord just to soften my heart, open my eyes, because I needed to be humbled. I had knocked myself so down that I was ready to just start fighting for my life back. And I just ready to do something different, you know. And I've been there about four months now, and I have never felt so much love and so much peace in my life. I learned to love all my sisters. There's about 18, 17 of us, and we're all different, and it's entertaining. It's never dull. Our days are long, but that's okay. My favorite verse is, which I'm very naive in the Bible, but I'm halfway through the New Testament. But my favorite verse is Mark 2:17, and it says that when you're, Jesus was talking, saying, he's a doctor. It's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. You know, I haven't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Hello, here I am. And so I was like, that's me. That's me. That's all about me. So, I don't really know what happiness is, you know, but I have felt more happy in the last 4 months than I ever have in my life. So, 2022 is my end date, and I'm excited, and I'm just happy to be here, honestly. So that's it. My sisters here are gonna do Never Lost, which is a hymn and video. Here y'all go.
It's all better right now. So, hey, my name's Brandy. I'm 39. I'm from Hanceville. I have three sons. Let's see. I am very thankful for Teen Challenge. I made my way there from jail. I have a big mouth, and I was very angry. One of my charges was public lewdness. So the Lord says, I left my grave clothes behind in the world. Come as you are, he says. So, like I said, I started using at the age of 12. And then to lose my mother, I actually found her. She still had the needle hanging out of her arm. And I use the term needle junkie because that's worldly, and it's going to hit somebody. Pill head, you know, meth head. But now I can say thanks to the Lord, I'm a God head. God is so good, y'all. I thought, you know, the devil had a target on my back and his demons were running me. Before I went to jail, I knew something good was not around me. It was not of the Lord. And I called 911, four nights in a row. And, I was acting very crazy. I was spiritually wound up. I'm going blank, but it's okay. I love y'all too. Yeah, the Lord's making my heart beat a little bit more every day. I'm just learning, thanks to Teen Challenge and the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I don't walk the same, I don't talk the same. I can hold my head up high. And I'm here, you know, I have so much energy. The Lord will give you so much energy just to go out and help other addicts and other, you know, people that cannot hold their head up and need somebody. And if I have to get on my knees and look up at you, you know, to let you know it's okay. The Lord loves you. It's going to be all right. But anyway, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Chain Challenge. Thank y'all for having us. And yes, thank y'all.
Okay. So I just want to tell y'all a few of the ways that, and a few of the needs that we have at the center. We're currently doing a restroom restoration, which our restrooms have been there for a very, very, very long time. And so we're in need of some restroom restoration, and we're in need of labor, materials, estimates, and funds. So if you know anybody that's in that business, you can give that way. We have a website called ALATC.org. You can go there online and give. You can find the different ways that you can give. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your people that come out and minister to us. Noah comes out and does worship with one of the churches that comes and ministers to us on Sunday nights. And it is amazing. We love Noah and his family. And so you can do that. Some of the ladies don't have a family that they can go home to on pass. So if you want to sponsor a lady and just have them come to your house for a weekend pass and just love on them, because sometimes that's all they really need. We have need for like toiletries, shampoo, conditioner, soap, things like that. A lot of times ladies don't have the money to pay the one-time intake fee of $650. After that, they don't have to pay anything. But the one-time $650 intake fee is a lot for some ladies. They can't pay that. So if y'all would like to do something like that, our center houses 40 women. Right now there's 18 women there. But we do have an adopt-a-room program where like a small group or a ladies' Sunday school class or the church can come and just decorate the rooms for the ladies and just make it feel like it's at home and you're not in jail somewhere. And that makes it much more comfortable. And so those are the ways that you can give. We do have some T-shirts and signs back here. If you would like to come and donate and purchase one of those T-shirts or signs. We also go out and do a thing called, it's called Drug Awareness Program. We go to different places like Piggly Wiggly and Foodland and sometimes gas stations. And they let us set up a table like kind of like what's back here. Out there and just take up donations and just spread the word of the Lord and bring awareness to the drug epidemic that is running rampant in our country and in our state. When I was younger, I never even really knew anything about drugs, but it's just getting more and more and more in our state. And so we need to just bring awareness to that, to people that don't know anything about it, because it takes people's lives, it takes their families. And so, but God, he restores all of that to us. He restores everything that the locusts have ate. And so we just thank you guys so much for having us out here. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bob. And thank you so much, guys.
I just love to hear a good story, don't you? I love to hear a good story about how God's been at work in folks' hearts and their lives, and they've experienced transformation and power through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes churches lose their way. Sometimes we lose our sense of what it is that we're supposed to be about. Sometimes we do everything but the gospel. We try to stay busy, try to stay occupied, try to do some good things for folks, but we forget that our central mission is to make Christ known. It reminds me, as I was listening to these women, about what happens in Mark chapter 14. Let me give you a quick picture of this, okay? A woman comes into a place where the Lord Jesus is with his men, and he's about to offer his life as a ransom for many. The Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And you see, because that was the Lord Jesus' ministry, now he's about ready now to make his way to the cross and to fulfill it. And on that journey, he finds himself in a room with 12 other fellows, and he's talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. As he does, a woman busts into the door, and as she does, she has this alabaster box, this vial of this perfume. The Bible says that she breaks it, and she anoints Jesus. In other words, she spreads that fragrance all over him. And you know something, I believe at times, as I think about that passage, what brought her to that place? I think the first thing that brought her to that place was that she realized that she was broken. She realized that she had desperation, she had need, and there was nowhere else to go. Somewhere in her story, somewhere in her history, she heard about what the Lord Jesus could do in the life of a person who was wounded, who was hurt, who was broken, maybe guilt-ridden or filled with regret, maybe having done some things in their past history that would cause them to think as though they would no longer be useful or worthy, and certainly never a candidate for God's heaven. But the Bible tells us a different story, that when she entered into that room and when she made that expression, it really wasn't the breaking of an alabaster vial. It was really the brokenness of her heart. And because of her broken heart, the Lord Jesus, although people around him were saying, what waste? You know, what? Why in the world? There's a lot of other nuances that go on in that story. But the bottom line is this, is that she had a broken heart. And with that, she made an offering unto the Lord. And that, of course, typified what all of us do when we realize that there's grace that God wants to each of us to enjoy or to have. And today, as I listen to these stories, I think about that woman and I think about the brokenness of her life, but more importantly, the brokenness of her heart. That sense of humility, that sense of saying, Lord, you know what, I'm at the place where I can't dig myself out of this hole. It reminds me of Psalm 103, where the Bible says that he raises us up out of the pit. As a father has compassion on his own children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, I don't know what pit you're in. You know, sometimes, I'd be honest with you, I cannot relate to some of their stories, okay? I just can't. I could lie about that, but it would be untrue. But what I could tell you is that I've had other addictions, because you see, sin is an addiction no matter where it reveals itself, right? See, some of us in this room, we're addicted to anger. That's what our sin is, man. We are in bondage to it. It controls us. There are some of us that we're addicted to jealousy. Some of us are addicted to you know, comparing ourselves to other people and feeling as though we come up short, and so we have resentment. Some of us are addicted to some other things that are attitudinal, you know? See, what these women have been through, really what they're sharing with you is the outward evidence of that inward sense of addiction. See, they had a sense of desperate need that they didn't know how to relieve or to medicate until they went to the places that they went to find relief. I don't know where you go to find relief. Many times we go to a TV set and we find ourselves just kind of lounging there for 6 or 8 hours, because that just kind of removes our sense of, you know, the reality that surrounds us. Some of us even do a lot of good things. We kind of OD on the good stuff because it can make us feel good about ourselves when we know that the real story about ourselves isn't all that great. You know, I don't know what your addiction is, but I know one thing about sin, that sin is addictive. It really is. It will control you. It will capture you. It will put you in indentured servitude. It was no wonder that Jesus would say in Luke chapter 4, when he repeated what the prophet said, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 61, he said, "Today the Spirit of the Lord is on me." And it's so obvious because, you see, here are some things that I do. And one of those things that he says he does is that he sets the captive free. He sets the captive free. And he proclaims to them the favorable year of the Lord. So, I want to rejoice with you. You know, I'm made glad for the stories that you have told here today. I'm so thankful for the testimonies of deliverance and overcoming and freedom that the Father has given to you. I thank God for gospel liberty, don't you? And for some of us who can't relate to that particular kind of bondage, there are some other bondages that we can relate to as well. I mean, think about 2020. Think about some of the attitudes that we've had during 2020 about who's right and who's wrong and what's this and what's that. Oh, come on, you know? I mean, listen, let's get to the place where we can experience the freedom of the Lord. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom. Man, there's freedom. And so my prayer would be here today that any one of us who are addicted to ourselves, you know, we're addicted to, you know, just enjoying us, that we're so full of pride or arrogance, or we want things to happen in our way. Listen, God will bring, here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5. You got to get this, okay? The Bible says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due season he will exalt you." Now, let me just paraphrase that for you real quick, okay? I say it like this when I go Weber on it, okay? It says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, because if you don't, the mighty hand of God will humble you." Listen, just all of us need the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to the place of desperation. That's the reason that in the 40 days that we've been joined together in a particular emphasis, it all began with a look at Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are bankrupt, those who are impoverished, those who are destitute, those that have no other way out. That's the beginning where life really starts. And so today, my prayer would be that because of the stories of deliverance that the Father has given to us through each of you, that every one of us would say, "Lord, I need a little bit of deliverance too. I need a little bit of grace myself. I need a little bit of release. I need some liberty. I need, Lord, to experience the touch of your Spirit on me that I see in them." I want to say thank you for sharing with us here today. You've blessed me. I've known folks that are close to me, that I've loved, that have dealt with the things that you've dealt with. And you know what? I pray for them the kind of joy and release and happiness and gospel expression that I've been the benefactor of here today. Church, aren't you thankful that we were able to sit in this place today and be blessed by these women? I sure am. Thank you so much. All right, I want to ask if you'll stand to your feet, okay? I'm going to hang here for a little bit because you may have been moved by some of the things that you've heard here today, and I do not want you to leave without knowing that there'll be someone close by that can talk to you about what does it mean to be a Christian. You may need someone just to pray for you or to pray with you. You may say, "You know what, Bob, I don't know what it means to be a Christian. I know what it means to be a churchman. You know, I know what it's like to speak Christianese. I know the language, but I don't have a relationship with God. I want that." Matter of fact, before we leave even now, I'm going to lead you to the place where you can say yes to Christ and you can experience his grace and the wonder of his goodness. Okay? Then I'm going to give you some instructions and I'll hang here for a while. If you need someone to pray with you or to be a blessing to you, Noah will be hanging with me as well, that we want to be sure that you have that opportunity. Okay? Join me as we pray. Father in heaven, I come before you today and I want to say thank you that you make all things new. I want to say thank you, Lord, that you make everything new. You do, Lord. The old has passed away and the new has come. And there'll come a time that you tell us in your word, Lord, that there's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth. I want to say thank you, Lord, that you're going to make everything just like you designed it from the very start in your garden. And I want to say thank you, Lord, that there's going to be the resplendent glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to remind us that you have purchased for us what we could never purchase for ourselves, that you have redeemed us from sin, and, Lord, you've raised us from death. I want to say thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of overcoming that we've heard here today. It reminds me, Lord, some things I've been reading in 1 John chapter 5, that we overcome the world. And what's the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. And our faith isn't in ourselves, Lord. Our faith isn't even in our faith. Our faith is in you. So we thank you, Father, today that we can come to you, that we can find deliverance, Lord, that we can be free, Lord, that we can experience joy and abundance and gladness and celebration. And Lord, there are some of us who've lost our song. There are some of us, Lord, have become hardened heart, calloused of soul. And Lord, we don't know how to clap our hands anymore, Lord. We don't even know how to stomp our feet. Not that we should do either one of those, Lord, to show that we're spiritual. But Lord, I pray for tenderness of our hearts. I pray, Lord, for an openness of our spirit. I pray, Lord, for a freedom to say to you, thank you, Lord, with a heart full of gladness and sincerity. Now, Father, there may be someone here today that's never met you, that doesn't know you. And so I pray, Lord, that they might take courage now and Lord, lift up this prayer before you with sincerity. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. That's right, that's you. Go ahead and pray it. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need deliverance. I need help. And Lord, I come to you and I realize that what you've done on the cross is that you satisfied the debt for my guilt that I could never satisfy. So I don't trust in me anymore, Lord. I trust in what you've done, the completed work of Jesus on the cross. I trust in your blood that cleanses me from all of my unrighteousness. I place my complete trust and hope in you. Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you for forgiveness. I know it's undeserved, but I bless you for it now. And I don't know what my next steps will be, Jesus, so help me. Take me to someone, Lord, that will teach me what my next steps in you should look like and can be. Give me, Lord, someone that can move me, mentor me, and help me to reach your goals for my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. There may be some of you in here right now that would pray something like this. Lord, I'm in bondage. Oh, I'm a believer, but, Lord, I'm all about the hustle. Lord, I'm all about the job. I'm all about, you know, the relationship. I'm all about the success. I'm all about, the, you know, my body. I'm all about money. Lord, people can name it. Lord, I pray right now that you would speak to every one of us about the things, Lord, that if we're not careful, we would never confess and never admit that we do now. Lord, there's sometimes we don't enjoy the fullness of your Holy Spirit. We don't enjoy, Lord, all that you have reserved for us in your glory. Lord, we don't see all the fullness of the reflection of Jesus in us. And the reason is, Lord, is because we love the world and the things of the world. And, Lord, they will always bring us to death. Lord, we've embraced the values of a culture. Lord, I pray today that there'll be folks in here that maybe have an experience with these who have testified have, but man, they've experienced. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of your glory. Lord, for those of us who have known you but yet been entrapped by ungodliness, I pray, Father, today through Jesus, that you'll bring that to our attention, that we'll confess it right now. This is my sin, Lord. This is my sin. I own it. I repent of it. And I ask you to forgive me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've prayed to receive Christ and say yes to the new life that he's given to all of us by grace, or if you prayed here today and said, you know what, I've kind of let things put me in a place of spiritual bondage, I need freedom, and in faith you made that request before God, I'm going to hang here for a bit. I want to encourage and bless you, okay? Noah's going to be close by as well. Now let me give you the plan. Before we get too far along in our day, okay? We're going to head on down to the gym, and we're going to just enjoy some stuff off the grill, okay? Burgers and dogs. It's just to kind of get you ready for what your afternoon might look like. Now, we're going to flex a little bit. I don't know what that's going to look like. I haven't looked outside. It looks like it's raining. It's not raining to me. It looks like I see sun coming through those windows. Never know what that means. But we got a lot of people. We got a lot of people to visit. We've got a lot of calls to make. We got a lot of folks to encourage and bless and to make deliveries to. We have others who have some needs in their household. But I'm going to coach you as to what, when we get in there, what it is that you'll be doing, and then what I want you to do once you get there. Okay? Because it's more than just cutting a lawn. It's more than just delivering a basket. I'm going to ask you to get engaged in someone's life, and I'm going to give you a way to do it. Okay? Once again, ladies, thank you for joining us here. Don't forget to go by their table over here and support their ministry and say, God, what do you want me to do? Oh, and by the way, if you'd like to give to their ministry, you can do that. You can do that right now. You can just write a check to Valley Creek and just earmark it for Teen Challenge. We'll make sure it gets to them. I'd like to ask you to do that, okay? If you want to just go to their table and write them a check or whatever, then you feel free to do that. Support the ministry of what God is doing through Teen Challenge. I believe a 90% success rate, hey, no, that's better than church attendance, you know, by far. You know, so I think I could get something behind that. All right. All right, guys. If you want to hang out, then hang out in the gym. I want to dismiss you for that. And I'll be here if you need someone to pray with you or encourage you. It'd be a blessing to you. Okay. Teen challenge table over here. Your lunch over there. I'll see you there. And then we'll tell you what our next steps are. God bless you.